tripping this morning.
Okay, gentlemen. So we're about to finish the parak.
Almost at the end.
But we'll wait till, you know, another 5 minutes or so. Let's just look in the Yalkut HaBi'urim. And he says the following. What happens in the case of all these mitzvot that are listed in the Mishnah here on Daf Chaf on the Beis, if he was mekayem the mitzvah from Amud HaShachar and on? So for example, the Mishnah starts with Kriyas HaMegillah and Kriyas Halel. And in the Tosfos Yontif, he writes that the reason why Kriyas HaHalel was situated, positioned in the Mishnah right after Kriyas HaMegillah, is because both have a mitzvah of Kriya. Others say because there's no mitzvah of Kriyas HaLel on Purim, because Kriyas Zuhi Lula, and that connects Megillah with Halel. They're both, in a sense, essentially the same mitzvah. The Meiri talks about the possibility of Kriyas Halel at night in the case of Pesach, and he says, so that's not really a Chi of Halel per se. You have to understand what that is. Now we derive Halel from the Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mavo, going to one Monday only, which clearly indicates that Halal has to be recited by day. So what's the Halal on Leil Pesach? So there's a tshuva here that he quotes from the Rimi Gash, that Kriyas Halal on Leil Pesach is Mishum Simcha. It's not part of the Takonis Halal. And he says that on the Halal of Leil Pesach, we don't recite a bruch.
Of
Leil HaPesach, we don't recite a brach, because again, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mavo, it's got to be during the day. The Rashash quotes the Vilna Gaon in his Perish on the Haggadah, who says that on the Haggadah we say Halayla Hazeh. Lachin no nemar bahagoda halayla hazeh shagam halayla. Why do we say halayla hazeh? It should be halayla zos, because halayla is lashon nekeva. He says lefisha zu hapam her yichida shenitztaveinu b'mitzvah la sosa dafka b'halayla v'lo b'yom. So this is a very profound idea that somehow, not, the night of Pesach is like Yom, in the sense that we have a chiyuv of Halel at night. So it's, and Halel is always by day, so it must be that the night is like the day, and therefore we use the lashon zachar, that Halayla Hazeh really means Hayom Hazeh, even though it's Laila, but it's really Yom. Now he says the following. There's a Beis Yitzchak. I don't know who the Beis Yitzchak is. Let me just see if by chance he tells you in the footnote. I don't think so, but he doesn't usually tell you who they are. Anyway, he writes that anything in our Mishnah...
It's not a Beis Yitzchak of Halen.
No. I don't think so. He says that anything in our Mishnah is Bayom and not Balayla. But it doesn't necessarily mean that mitzvasom kol hayom. In other words, the Gemara is going to derive all these mitzvos that they require yom, but it never says in any of these sources. In other words, none of these derivations would establish that the zman of the mitzvah is kol hayom, just that it's bayom v'lo b'layla. And I was thinking again with regard to Musaf, it could be according to some days, I don't know if we pass like that, but that Musaf is only up to the seventh hour. So it doesn't really necessarily tell you that you can fulfill these mitzvahs during the entire day.
I think you pass it there, you can go all day. But the only problem is if, let's say, you're late, and when you're about to daven Musa, but it's already Zman Mincha.
Right, you mean because the Tadir Shein of Tadir or something along that line. But again, I would just mention here, I'm trying to remember if it's Rabbi Yehuda, I just don't want to get the name wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Rabbi Yehuda in Masech de Brachas. Let me just give me a second here. Oh! Here it is, Rabbi Yehuda Masech de Brachos on Daf Chavav is of the opinion that Tfilas Musafim Eino Ela Ad Sheva Shavos. So again, our Mishnah might not reflect the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, or alternatively, our Mishnah is just telling you that Musaf is a Mitzvah Hayom and not Laila, but not necessarily that it's called Hayom. Then he quotes the Pnei Yoshua, who says that with regard to everything listed in our Mishnah, it's Kol Ayom. The Turi Evan asks the following question. He says, Ma Chidush HaMishnah? What is the Chidush of our Mishnah? Harei Pashut, the Kol Mashadino Lasosa Vayom, it's Vosa Kol Ayom. According to Pnei Yeshua, if the Chidush is that it's Kol Ayom, why would I ever think otherwise? I would never entertain any idea that it shouldn't be Kol Ayom. Any mitzvah that's Yom is Kol Ayom. Again, if you derive the chiyuv of Hallel from the Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mavoo, okay, in that case you could say it's Misfaso Kol Ayom. But the Gemara has another derivation, Zeh Ayom Asa Hashem, so we don't know if that means Kol Ayom. There's a certain advantage in quoting the pasuk Yisach Shem Amivo. If you hold like the Pnei Yeshua, the Chiddush of Mishnah is that you can fulfill the mitzvah during the entire day. The Turi Evan says that this Mishnah should be attached as a continuation of the previous Mishnah, where we saw that anything that has a din of Yom should not be performed before Hanetzachama, only b'dieved after Alos HaShachar is Yotza. So gam Mishnah Zu ba lahosef shekein kol eila hamurim kan gam ken ein lasosan lifnei Hanetzachama. So we have three ways of interpreting our Mishnah here in Chafam Beis. One way is to say that our Mishnah, that's the Beis Yitzchak, is telling me that the mitzvah is by Yom and not by Laila. The other way is the Pnei Yoshua to tell you that it's Mitzvah of Kol Ayom. And the third way is to say that the Kiddush and Mishnah, that these mitzvahs have to be fulfilled with Chatkila after Hanetzachama. It's only been the evidence as a fallback position after Alos HaShachar Yuz Yotzeh. And here the Turi Evan reads Rashi carefully. Rashi says, Kol Ayom Kosher. And Rashi says the Afal Gav the Kaimon's reason Makdim with Mitzvahs Afil Ochli Kosher Kol Hayom. So it seems that the Mishnah is coming to teach us, according to Rashi, that even if he has not fulfilled his mitzvah with Rizus, we're not going to undermine the mitzvah and say he wasn't Yotzei, but rather he has until the end of the day to fulfill the mitzvah. So Rashi seems to be going with a little bit with the Pnei Yoshua, that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that you could have the entire day even if you forfeit the Kiyum of Zrizus. Okay, Rabbos, at this point, I think what we should do is go back to our sugya. We're almost up to the Mishnah on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. We just have one little piece of Gemara that we didn't finish, and that is about six lines up before the end. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll start 7 lines before the end. So the Mishnah says what we call a klal, and it concludes with this overriding principle that Dovah Shemitzvah Sevalayla Kosher Kol Alayla. Any mitzvah that is meant to be fulfilled at night can be fulfilled throughout the entire night. You have the whole night to do it. Which, by the way, if that would parallel the ratio, would mean that any mitzvah which is during the day, you'd have the whole day to do it. Which is that would support the Pnei Yeshua that we just mentioned. In any event, with regard to mitzvahs halayla, we had the cases of Ketzirus HaOmer and Hekter Chalov Ve'Evarim, and it's called halayla. So the Gemara says, Lasuye Mai, whenever there's a klal in a Mishnah, it comes to include something that wasn't mentioned, that wasn't explicitly enumerated. So the Gemara answers, Lasuye Achilas Psochen, that you can eat the Korban Pesach up until daybreak on the night of Tesvav ben Nisan. Udalok Rabbelozer ben Azaria. Tesanya, V'ochlu es ha-bosor b'layla hazeh. Omer Rabbelozer ben Azaria. Nemar kan b'layla hazeh. V'nemar lahalon. In the Makas Bechoros it says, V'avarti b'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria has this gzeira shava, balayla zeh balayla zeh malah alon ad chatzos, just like in the case of Makas Bechoros, they died up until chatzos, and by chatzos all the Bechoros had perished, and there was no hemshech, there was no continuation of the Makah. Afkan here too, Achilas Korban Pesach is ad chatzos. Which means that the latest time to fulfill the mitzvah of Yochlos Abbas of Balayla Zeh is up until Chatzos. And that's based on the Gzeres Shov of Balayla Zeh to Bechorot, to the Makas Bechoros. Rabbi Akiva actually argues with Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. He holds he can eat the Korban Pesach during the entire night. And the Mishnah that says Kol Alayla reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah is coming to teach us Lafuke Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and to accept the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Now Tosus points out in many places that l'chatchila we try to fulfill the mitzvah according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, even though b'ikar din we paskin like the shita of Rabbi Akiva, but we should be machmir for Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Now what are the nafkaminas? So nafkamina number one is that we want to eat the afikomen before chatzos because of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. The afikomen is a replacement for the Korban Pesach. Then the other nafkamina is the mitzvah of halal, which ends our seder, and we should be makpid to recite halal before chatzos. And the reason for that is because all the mitzvahs halayla surround the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is sort of like the central hub of all the mitzvahs of Leil HaPesach, including Hallel. And if you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria that the Pesach ends with Chatzos, so too all the mitzvahs HaLaila will end before Chatzos. So we have to make sure to eat the matzah before Chatzos. We have to make sure to write and recite Hallel before Chatzos.
The clock will be changed before Pesach, so we have an extra
So we get an extra hour?
Yeah, the clock changes at the end of March.
But in which direction? We move forward, no? So
would that 12:30 becomes 1:30? So it becomes around 1:30.
So you have an extra hour to move.
No, I don't have that. Why do you get an extra hour?
11:30 becomes 12:30. So it becomes around 12:30, 12:45.
So why do you get an extra hour? I don't get it. I thought you lose an hour.
No,
aren't you going to start the Seder even later?
You lose an hour in your...
I see what you're saying. You're saying that we start the Seder later, but Chatzos is also later.
Yes.
So you have a little bit more time to Chatzos. Right. But at the end of the... I shouldn't say at the end of the day, that's a pun here. But at the end of the day, what I mean to say is that you still end up with the same... Don't you still end up with the same amount of hours for the Leila Seder?
Shkia, between Saints and Chatzot, you have the same amount of time. That doesn't
right. Happen. So what do you? So John, what do we gain by changing the clock? Meaning, what I'm worried about is the pressure. What do I mean by the pressure? If I have to start the Seder after nightfall and have to end by Chatzos, I'm very pressured to get everything in before Chatzos.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Does changing the clock help me at all? That's what I'm trying to figure it out.
Pesach is late this year, right?
Right.
Pesach is late, so actually you have more pressure because the later it is, the shorter the time.
That's right.
Because there's less
the nightfall. I'm not sure if it's such good news. Yeah. You know, you're going to really... The truth is that it's all a chumra, meaning we pass like Rabbi Akiva, that the Pesach is nechal ad murashach. Yeah. So really, really we could fulfill these mitzvahs afterwards. But I would say, you know, the Avnei Nesis business, I don't have comfort now, but he has a tenai that you eat the afikom before chatzos, we hold like Rebbe Lossman Azari, and they eat another afikom and after chatzos, in case we paskin like.
But for the Korban Pesach, I mean, it may have been, but that was a pretty, that was, it was agreed, it was generally agreed that the Korban Pesach was done by chatzos, though.
It doesn't seem so, because I think we accept Rabbi Akiva, if I'm not mistaken.
But in Ezio Makuman, that which is supposed to be like Perik, right, which is that Perik, hey, but that, that's, the that has no other, what I learned was that that's, everyone agrees to everything in there, because that was, you know, there was no other opinion stated, that was like a Perik where everyone, you know, there are no disputes about. And it specifically says Pesach is only.
I don't know, because our Mishnah here reflects the Shita Rabbi Akiva that you can eat the Korban Pesach the whole night, right? Because Kedavah Shemitzos Balayim and Kosher Kol Alayim. So I don't know. I think again, I don't have all the sources in front of me, but I have a very definite memory that we pass in like Rabbi Akiva that the Pesach is eaten at Chatzos. I'm sorry, Kol Alayim. Now. There's another question here. What happens, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, after Chatzos? Right? Look at this table, right? You see this? This is the meat of the paschal lamb, right? And it's after Chatzos. What do I do with it? So one shita says, but this is probably absolutely incorrect, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this becomes nosar, and we have to burn it. But that's probably not right. I'll tell you why. Because Korban Pesach comes under two categories. It's an overlap. It's a Korban Pesach, but it's also a Zevach. And a Zevach can be eaten until the morning. So we have this period of time between Chatzos and daybreak in which the Pesach is not yet Nosar, because it only becomes Nosar ad Boker, but yet you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Alayla Hazeh, because according to the Gzeres Shavu Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Balayla Hazeh means up till Chatzos, not beyond. So this is famous in the name of Reb Chaim, I think, Reb Chaim Brisker, and maybe it goes back to the Beis Halev even, that even though Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that the Pesach is Eino Nechal Ad Chatzos, but that's only Midin Korban Pesach, but insofar as it's also a Zevach, then you'll have to eat it in order to prevent it from becoming Nosar. So you'll get a kiyum of kodshim, of achilas kodshim, you won't get a kiyum of achilas pesach. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure if it's the Ramban, but there are monia mitzvahs that count achilas kodshim as one of the mitzvahs in Taryat. So that if you pass chatzos in the case of Korban Pesach, although you don't fulfill the mitzvah of achilas pesach, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but you do fulfill the mitzvah of achilas zemach. And that's as long as it hasn't become nosar. And this might help answer the famous question. There were five Tanoim that were Mesugim b'Bnei Brak. And they were Mesaper b'Tzias Mitzrayim until the Talmidim came and told them it's time for Kriyat Shema. One of those five was Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Now, if the Pesach is Einu Nechal Elad Chatzos, how was he Yotze the Mitzvah Siper b'Tzias Mitzrayim throughout the whole night? Very famous question. So some want to say that even though the Korban Pesach is not Nechal Ad Chatzos, but nevertheless it still has a shame Pesach as far as the Zemach is concerned. And therefore, when you point to the Korban Pesach and you say, well, Pesach Zeno Ochel Al Shem, Shepasach Kodesh Baruch Al Bati Avaseinu B'Mitzrayim, etc., which is the Mishnah later on of Rabbi Gamliel. When I say later on, I mean later on in Pesachim. I keep forget what Masechta I have in front of me, because as soon as you start learning about Korban Pesach, you assume that there's a Pesachim in front of you. But we really have a Gemara Megillah in front of us. But that's a very interesting question. There are like 15 answers to this question. Why is it that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was amongst the five Tanoim who was Mesaper? Because Lechora, according to him, right, the Pesach says Bavur Zeh, which means that the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Yisrael depends upon Zeh, meaning the Korban Pesach. And how can you say Bavur Zeh according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah after Chatzos? I say there's a myriad of answers to that question, but it's a fascinating question. So at this point, Rabbi Elazar will make believe we're drinking a L'chaim, and Hajon Alecha Korei L'mafrei. It was a pretty short perek. We got away in sheep, you know. The next perek is also not so long. HaKorei Samegila. Now this perek, to a large extent, addresses the overlap between two mitzvahs of Kriya. One is Kriya HaMegillah, and the other is Kriya HaTorah. And the first issue that the Mishnah addresses is the question of Amida. Do you stand for the reading of the Megillah? Do you stand for the reading of the Torah? Now, when we say, do you stand, we have to break that question down into two parts. There's what's called Lechatchila, and then there's what's called Bidyevet. Meaning, it could be that Amida might be a requirement, and we'll have to see. But even so, it's not necessarily a critical requirement. So even if the mitzvah was meant to be done, the reading was meant to be done in a standing position, if I sat, I would not have to repeat the kriya because I was yotze, pasim. So the Mishnah says the following, Hakore es ha-megillah. Now here I have to point out to you that there's a Rashi later on, not right here in the Mishnah, that seems to imply that the discussion here in this Mishnah is limited to the case of Kriyas HaMegillah B'Tzibur, which means that as far as Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yachid, that was never an issue. It was absolutely crystal clear that Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yachid could be achieved B'Yeshiva while you're sitting. The issue is Kriyas HaMegillah B'Tzibur, because then it sort of reminds us or it sounds very similar to Kriyas HaTorah. Because Kriyas HaTorah by definition is B'Tzibur, and that we're going to see in the Mishnah later on in Daf Chav Gimel. And Kriyas HaTorah might require Amida. The Gemara is going to derive from a pasuk that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu Vata Po Amod Imadi. So the word is amod, and Kriyas HaTorah requires amida. Our Mishnah is trying to tell us that Kriyas HaMegillah is different than Kriyas HaTorah, whereas Kriyas HaTorah requires amida, Kriyas HaMegillah does not require amida. And in the language of the Mishnah, that's omed v'yoshev. Omed v'yoshev means either or. You have two choices, and there's no difference between the two. Either you stand for the Kriyas HaMegillah, or you sit for the Kriyas HaMegillah. And again, the chiddush here is that in Megillah, as opposed to Torah, Kriyas HaTorah, we don't require, even Lechatchila, we don't require Amida. And that chiddush applies especially to the case of Kriyas HaMegillah B'Tzibur, which is very similar to Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. You might therefore think that you require Amida, at least Lechatchila. The Kamashma of the Mishnah says no. Omeid v'yoshev, you have the two choices. Now, there is another opinion, which I haven't yet presented to you, that in Megillah, like in Kriyas HaTorah, L'chatchila, we do require Amida, L'chatchila, and therefore our mission is addressing the case of Kriyas HaMegillah B'yachid. If you're reading the Megillah on your own, then you have two choices, and they're both equal, Amida or Yeshiva. But if you're reading the Megillah publicly, then Amida would be L'chatchila a requirement, like in Kriyas HaTorah. But we're not going to go with that Shita, we're going to go with Rashi Shita. Rashi Shita is that we're talking here in the Mishnah about Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, Kriyas HaMegillah, excuse me, B'Tzibur, and nevertheless, there's no difference between Omeid and Yoshev. And L'chatchila, you have two equal choices.
We do is we stand for the brachos.
That's an interesting question. Why do we stand for brachos? Yeah. The Beit Yosef seems to assume, as a principle in brachos, that we always stand for brachos. There are very few exceptions, and each one of those exceptions has to be understood. So, for example, in Sfiras HaOmer, we stand for both the bracha and the sfira, because it says Me'achel Charmesh Bakoma Al Tukim Bakoma El Bakoma. But as a general rule, the mitzvah could be done by yeshiva, but yet the bracha by amida. So that has to be understood why that's so. But let's leave out brachas because I got enough on my plate here without the brachas. Like I still owe an answer about the earliest time to put on tefillin. You know, I'm still waking up in the middle of the night trying to figure out the answer to that question.
Could you put on tefillin when you wake up?
Though? Exactly. Karu shnayim yatsu. Now this is a very fascinating halacha. The universal principle is trei koli lo mishtamoi. The exception to that rule is going to be kriyas hamegillah. We're going to see a discussion about kriyas hallel, and why is it that in the case of Megillah and Hallel, these cases we don't apply the principle of trei koli lo mishtamoi? Now, presumably, when it says karo shnayim yatsu, it would not be limited to shnayim. It means we could have 10 people who are reading the Megillah or more, and they're all reading it simultaneously, and everybody's yotze. Now, of course, you heard of the Sfas Emes, the great Gera Rebbe. He racks his brains, he tries to figure out why does the Gemara assume that when it says Karu Shnayim Yatsu, it means that they both read the Megillah simultaneously. He says, why not interpret the Mishnah in a different way? Not that they read the Megillah simultaneously from beginning to end, but rather, Shnayim Shekaru, like Shnayim Sheyatsu, meaning that Reuven read half the Megillah, and then Shimon took over and read the second half of the Megillah. Why isn't that a valid interpretation of the Mishnah? So the Sfas Emes says, The bar is not like that. And then he ends up by saying, see, I would say the following. If one person read the first half of the Megillah, the second half of the Megillah, for sure you could be yotze with that. We do this all the time.
Right.
The Gemara even has a discussion, let's say Chazor Sashatz, if the Shatz can't finish, can somebody else fill in for him? And that's how we paskin. Somebody else just comes up to the Ovid, picks up where he left off.
Right, but it's a Kamashman, you say Kamashman because you've seen it, right? But what gives us the source? Who says that the guy going up for an Aliyah is going to get... You can make the bracha and someone else reads. Like who's?
No, but I'm just saying that if in kriya some megillah, I could be yotze either through kriya if I'm the actual reader, or through shmir, or if I hear the megillah. So what difference does it make if half is through kriya and half is through shmir?
Right. Okay.
In any event, the Sfas Emes says it's emes, and that's why he's called the Sfas Emes. But the simple pshat in the Mishnah, the way the Gemara and Rashi certainly understood it, is that they were both reading it simultaneously, and there's no problem of trei koli lo mishtamoi.
Just wondering, because if this is being read, if you read it, because we haven't addressed the opinion of that this is talking about some Kriya B'Yafi rather than Tzibor, would that change how you think about one person reading that another person reading if they're doing B'Yafi?
I don't think it would change. I don't think so. Think about that. But okay, what else? What else is the Mishnah going to establish as far as the unique kriya of Megillah as opposed to kriya Satorah? And that's makom shenogu levarich yivarich shelo levarich lo yivarich. So let me just summarize three unique dimensions of Megillah in contrast kriya Satorah. Number one. There's no requirement of Amida in Kriyas HaMegillah, where there will be with regard to Kriyas HaTorah. Number two, the halacha of Trei Koli Lo Mishtamoi, which applies to Kriyas HaTorah, does not apply to Kriyas HaMegillah, and two people can read it simultaneously. Number three, whereas in Kriyas HaTorah, there's an absolute requirement of a bracha, in the case of Kriyas HaMegillah, it depends upon Minhag. Now, what does that mean, it depends upon Minhag? So that's, Rashi points out, this is talking not about the bracha lefanel, but rather bracha leachreha, which is called Arav Esri Venu. To the best of my knowledge, we accepted that minhag, but back in the day of the Mishnah, it wasn't necessarily a widespread minhag to recite a bracha after the Kriyas HaMegillah. And my sense is, and again you can beat me up for saying this, that Why did the Minhag institute or insist on making a bracha after the Megillah? Something that's very rare. And I think the answer is because to this, we would like to the extent of possibly that we possibly can to pattern Kriyas HaMegillah after Kriyas HaTorah. And Kriyas HaTorah requires a bracha not just lefaneha, but even leachreha. And the Gemara derives this in Masechta Brachos, if I remember correctly, from Birkas HaMazon, that if we have to thank Hashem after we eat physical food, which is Chayishah, then how much more so do we have to thank Hashem after we complete the Torah?
What? The bracha required be Yachid also? Because
no. That's going to be a major controversy, but let's assume not.
Okay,
let's assume not. And the question is, in the light of that Kal V'chomer, let's say we're going to end today. What time do we end? At 8:15 we usually end? Yes. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah, 8:15. So why don't we make a bracha at 8:15? Based on that Kal V'chomer. So if I eat a meal, I make a bracha after I finish the meal. That's only Chayishah. How much more so when I finish my learning Torah? So the
Rashba, you're never done.
Exactly. The Rashba says you're never done. So here's where Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur is different than Talmud Torah. Because Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It has bookends. And therefore you can say finito, that's what you have to read. And once you finish that reading, you require a bracha, Kal V'chomer from Birkas HaMazon L'Achreha. In the case of Kriyas HaMegillah, likewise, we should have said that the kriya requires a bracha lachreah. No doubt that this minhag was pushing that agenda, that just like in Kriyas HaTorah we have a bracha lachreah, so to increase HaMegillah we should have a bracha lachreah. But it was never established as a formal rabbinic enactment, a requirement. And the reason for that, it probably is because Kriyas HaMegillah is fundamentally pirsum hanes. We're not reading it b'toras Torah. In fact, the Gemara goes back and forth about whether you should be mevatel Torah for the sake of Mikra Megillah, implying that they're two separate mitzvahs. Remember we discussed the Lo'azi, right? He doesn't understand the word of Ashuris, and yet he's Yotze the mitzvah Megillah. In Talmud Torah, he would not be Yotze. But the answer is, we're not talking about Talmud Torah, we're talking about Pirsum HaNes. Of course, you might ask me, if he doesn't understand the word of Hebrew, where's the Pirsum HaNes? So you remember the Rashi, back on Daf Yud Ches, the Rashi says, well, he'll ask the people what's going on, you know, and they'll explain it to him.
And it's also similar to, again, pattern it after Kriya Torah, he also would be Yotze with Kriya. I guess you don't have the same chiyuv to hear everything with Kriya, so that's more on the tzibur than it is on the.
Okay, I lost you somewhere there, Eric.
But Kriya Torah is somebody who, that's done in Hebrew. It's always done in Hebrew. And if you did it in another language and the person didn't understand, then.
Right. Those are different rules. Yeah, you're asking another question. If the goal of Mishnah is to contrast between Megillah and Kriyas HaTorah, it could have mentioned the case of the laws. Now, how do I know that this Mishnah of Minhag has nothing to do with the Bracha Lach Lifaneha? So the answer is because we have a principle in Mitzvos that Kol HaMitzvos Kula Mevarach Aleihem Over L'Asiyasa. So that's not subject to custom. That doesn't depend upon where you're coming from. That's a hardcore requirement. So as far as the bracha lefaneha is concerned, there's a definite, absolute requirement. As far as the bracha lachreah is concerned, that was never enacted as a requirement, because you can mekayim the mitzvah pirsum hanes. Like for example, in Hanukkah we don't have bracha lachreah and it's pirsum hanes. So too in Megillah they don't. But the answer is they try to pattern it after Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore the minhag pushed the agenda for a bracha lachreah. Now, one of the issues here, which I don't want to get into now, but it's a fascinating issue, is what about the bracha of she'asa nisim lavoseinu? In other words, as far as kol mitzvos kulam mevarach aleihem over l'asiyasa, that base I covered with asher kitchanu mitzvos v'tzivanu. The second bracha, that could be totally in minhag. So we're going to have a whole discussion about this. How does the Gemara know that the second bracha of she'asa nisim is an absolute requirement and it doesn't depend upon minhag? But the bottom line is that we're talking about the bracha lachreha. There's a long discussion here in the Mefarshim. If you don't have that minhag, can you nevertheless decide that you want to make that bracha? Let's say the tzibur doesn't have the minhag. Are they permitted to recite the bracha lachreha? And it's not a bracha of atola. So if they want to, they can. Just that if they don't have the minhag, they're not obligated to recite the bracha. So it's a p'tur, but it's not a bracha levatol if they went ahead and they decided to recite that bracha. The Gemara later on is going to go through the Nusach HaBrach, and I'd love to spend some time with you on that, because that Brach is a very complicated Brach. It has an opening, it has an ending, it has many different parts to it. And now we get to Kriyas HaTorah. Again, what is Kriyas HaTorah doing in Masechta the Megillah? The only answer we could come up with is that once the Mishnah wants to tell you the laws of Kriyas HaMegillah, now the Mishnah wants to tell you about Kriyas HaTorah. We've already mentioned some very unique features of Kriyas HaMegillah, and now we want to talk about Kriyas HaTorah. So now, first of all, we have to understand that Kriyas HaTorah divides up into two basic categories, if you will. One is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu actually made the first takon of Kriyas HaTorah, and that would take place on 3 days a week. Number one, it would be on Monday. Number two, on Thursday. And number three, on Shabbos. And the reason for that is that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to tolerate a situation where the people of Israel would go 3 days without Torah. Now Ezra comes along, and we're up to round two. His takana adds three elements. Number one, that we call three people up to the Torah. And as far as Moshe Rabbeinu, one person was enough. The second element in Ezra's takana was asara psukim, that you need a requirement of at least 10 psukim. So you have 3 korim and 10 psukim. Now, would Moshe Rabbeinu have allowed for one pasuk? I don't know. That has to be taken. That has to be studied. The third element in takanas Ezra is what? Targum. Ezra instituted Targum. Now, Targum could be understood in one of two ways. It could be understood as Targum, literally, or Targum might mean translation. So, for example, if we would translate the Torah into English, would that be a fulfillment of Takanas Ezra? I don't know. One argument would say that it's not Targum, there's something holy in Targum. And the other argument would say that Targum simply means translation. So, for example, you've heard of an organization called NCSY. You're familiar with that? Mm-hmm. So in NCSY, they have a translation of the Torah into English. What they do is, I think they read either 3 or 4 aliyahs, and then they take a break and they translate what they read. And then when they get to the end of the Torah, they translate the rest of it. And if they don't give a translation, they give at least highlights, you know, that people should understand. So if you're dealing with Bali Tshuva who don't know what the Torah is all about, it makes sense that if the purpose of Targum is that people should understand what they heard, then you should translate it to the vernacular. You're going to translate it into Aramaic, then it's not going to help anybody. I mean, it'll help scholars who know Aramaic. You know, there are a few people who are very makbid not only to read Shnayim Mikra and Echad Targum, but they also want to understand the Targum. I don't know of anybody, but there are people out there. I never met anybody, but there is such a thing. In fact, I have a 3-volume set called Yena Shel Torah, which is an explanation of Targum. So imagine, it's like when I sent my kids...
Targum of the Targum.
Yeah, it's so funny. You send kids, Israelis will send kids to a Yiddish-speaking cheder, and the Rebbe will translate the Torah into Yiddish, and the children have no clue what the Yiddish is all about. So they understand the Yiddish because it's a translation of the Torah. Anyway, B'sheni b'chamishi b'shabbos b'mincha korin shlosha. Okay, so this is already after the takana of Ezra. How do I know this is after the takana of Ezra? Because it says that you called 3 kruins. That was not instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather by Ezra. Okay, so Kohen Shlosha. Now Kohen Shlosha means Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. And the Gemara is going to try to explain why we have to get representation here of Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Again, that's all l'chatchila, but not b'dieved. So a lot of what we're learning here in Megillah is really a spin-off of a sugya, the real original sugya, is in Masechta Bava Kama Daf Pei Beis. And there the Gemara says that the reason they instituted a Kriya Mincha time, which again, according to Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana, it would have been Shabbos in the morning, but now we're adding a Kriya Shabbos in the afternoon, that was not part of the Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is part of the takon of Ezra. So I said to you before that Ezra instituted three takonos. Actually, it's four takonos. Number one is Shlosha Kruim. Number two is Asar Psukim. Number three is Targum. And number four is Kriyas HaTorah B'Mincha on Shabbos. And that's called Mishum Yoshvei Kronos. Okay, we don't know what that is, but the people were wasting their time, Mincha time, so they left them into Shul to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Now, is the number three an absolute fixed in stone requirement? So the Mishnah says yes. Ein pochas in mihem, v'ein mosifin alein. Nothing less than three kruim, and nothing more than three kruim. And this is the concept called bitul malacha. See, today we live in a world where in certain circles you don't take a job, but rather you sit and learn. You go to kollel. But the Mishnah was very concerned about people who go to work. That's why I have to make sure that I don't keep you overtime. But no joke. It's bitul malacha, as I state, that you're not going to add a fourth aliyah on a day in which people are going to work. But what about on a day that people are not going to work? Like Shabbos, for example, or Yontif. So Yontif is a little complicated because, generally speaking, we don't add beyond five kruim on Yontif. We'll have to see why. But on Shabbos, we can add extra kruim. Because there's no bitul malach.
And then you go to Sfarim Lov Ka'ad.
Really?
Yeah.
And I go to this one minion in at the hotel. It's in Nate's minion. Shabbat, and even on Yom Kippur, they'll be adding as well. But on Shabbat, they'll be like 12, 13, just trying to give them that.
They just repeat the last, like, yeah. There's a Sivkot. They have 10 people to give aliyahs, but only have 7 aliyahs.
Well, they're much more flexible also about where the aliyahs stop. I mean, because their rules
are right. Yeah, a lot of strict rules.
They'll use those rules to the fullest extent.
I've seen situations where they just repeat the previous aliyah.
They'll do that as well. Yes.
Now let me ask you the following question: the Mishnah is explicit that mincha time on Shabbos you call up three kruim. And therefore the principle of Ein Pochsin Ve Mosifin applies to Mincha. Now, if the reason why Ein Mosifin is because of Bitul Malach, that shouldn't apply Shabbos Mincha. So the Mefarshim made another element into the equation. And that is that we want to allow ample time for Drashos. Again, you know, our Drasha is classically before Musaf, but in those days they had a Drasha even before Mincha time. Maybe they had two drushes, I don't know. Maybe they had two rabbis in the shuls that each rabbi had a chance to give a drush.
Well, there's a tradition of the drush in the afternoon. I mean, that's...
Where? Even today?
Even today. I know there are a number of places where you'll
Right, right. Okay, today. We're going back to our roots. But if you go to an American synagogue today...
Well, that's American.
Right. Oh, no, I think probably in England as well. I don't know about France. I can't tell you. But the classical slot for a drush is before Musaf. I don't know. You've never seen that. Anyway,
I've seen it, and actually, yeah. I try and avoid shows like that. I end up making the morning much longer.
Right. Okay, you give me a great feeling. You're right, dash it every shot.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Anyway, so because of this drasha, mincha time, they wanted to make sure that the Kriyas HaTorah itself would be curtailed. It wouldn't be extended with osafos. Because it's getting very late. You know, it's almost close to darkness already. And you want to make sure that Mincha will be davened before Shkia. And also you want to make sure that Shabbos will end on time. So therefore, we don't add any kruim Mincha Shabbos. Now, the Eimav Tirim bin Novi, on these days, which are not endowed with Kedusha Sayom, there's no Novi. And we can apply that as well to Rosh Chodesh and to Chol Shomod, which we'll see in just a minute. But on days that are endowed with Kiddush Sayom, like Shabbos and Moed, Yontif there, we will require Maftirin bin Novi. Now, who makes the bracha over the Torah? Now we think, because that's what we're used to, is that every Karu makes his bracha, and that's it. But not in the time of the Mishnah. At the time of the Mishnah, Posef Achosim B'Torah Mevarach Lefaneu Lachrem. The first guy who gets an aliyah, I assume he's a Kohen, if you have a Kohen, he's going to make the bracha Lefaneu. Then we call up the Levi, we call up the Yisrael, and then the Bracha L'Achareya is going to be recited by the Yisrael. The Levi himself is going to get an Aliyah without any brachas. He's right there in the middle. He's sandwiched in the middle. So I have here a quote from the Meiri. The Meiri says, "Shetzorech shakruim haemtzoyim yusha mitchilu v'yad sof." Fascinating. In other words, Birchas HaTorah is a critical part of Kriyas HaTorah. Now, if the Levi comes in after the Kohen already recited his bracha, then he cannot fulfill his mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. You got to send him to another shul. And the reason for that is because he didn't hear the bracha lefanel. That's the Meiri sheet. Again, I'm not pasking halacha. Please don't misunderstand. I just want you to understand the shitas haMeiri. The Meiri says that hearing the bracha is critical, and those who get an aliyah in the middle, they have to be sure, we have to be sure, that they were there from the beginning. Because if they weren't there from the beginning, and if they don't stay to the end, then they are lacking the brachos. He says, "Kadesh Yishmu Abrachos v'yetzu yedecho vasam v'shmi asan." They must hear the brachos. V'im lo hayu akruim haemtzayim b'tchila v'lo shomus abracha. Is then we have two choices. Either we could send them to another synagogue, or, says the Meir, we have another alternative. We can have them make their own bracha. Now, what I don't understand is, do they make that bracha out loud? In other words, the Kohen gets the first aliyah. He has to make that bracha out loud because everybody wants to clue in and link into his bracha. But in the case of the Levi, who doesn't have to make a bracha, but he has to make a bracha because he didn't hear the bracha of the Kohen. So the Meiri offers a suggestion that the Levi himself will make his own bracha. I would think, again, I don't have the Meiri here, that here the bracha would be, he could whisper the bracha to himself. Nobody has to hear the bracha. Now,
this requires that they, it's different, they go up, they actually have to do the reading as well. In other words, they're not, let's say the Levi hears the bracha, he's going up, he's not going up to make a bracha, he's going up to actually do the reading himself. So you don't have a Baal Korah here.
Well, why are you so arrogant?
Because what's the point of calling up a Levi to stand there if he's... In other words, if you have a Baal Korah who's reading from beginning to end, then you have one bracha at the beginning, then what does he do? He would stop, the Levi comes up, stands there, says nothing, and then he starts reading again the next three psukim. It doesn't seem to make sense. It seems like this is implying that they're coming up, they don't have to say any brachas, but they're doing the reading.
I hear what you're saying, it's an excellent point. It does seem a little bit formal just to call up a Levi and he's not reading. He's not even saying a bracha. Excellent point. I don't know. Let's see if we can finish the mission at least. Rashi Chadashim, Barashi Chadashim, Ubechol Shamoed. So here again we have an issue of Bittul Molacha. But on the other hand, we curtail our malach, at least in the case of cholo shomoi. So korin arba, which means that we have room for adding another aliyah in the case of cholo shomoi. Again, malach you could do on cholo shomoi, but it has to be what's called a dobra oved, something that will cause you loss if you don't engage in it. But on Rosh Chodesh, there's no isim malach whatsoever. Why do we jack it up from three to four aliyahs? So let me leave that as a question. We'll try to research that. Now, why does it say Rashi Chadashim in the plural? So perhaps this means that you could have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. If the previous month was Chaser, this month is Mole. Ein Poksim Mehem V'Ein Mosifin Aleihem. Again, even though Chol HaMoed is also a malach, but since there are many malachas that you're allowed to engage in, we have the principle of Bittul Malach, and therefore we don't go beyond four Korim. So we allow for a fourth Koru to reflect the sanctity of the day of Chol HaMoed, and the fact that there is an Issa Malach on Chol HaMoed, but nevertheless you're allowed to engage in certain malachas, and therefore we're not going to go beyond the number four. V'Ein Maftir B'Novi, As we said before, Navi is left for a day that's endowed with Kedushas Hayom, a complete Kedushas Hayom, and that only applies to Shabbos and Yom Tov. However, with regard to Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, the same rule applies, that HaPoseach HaChosein BaTorah Mevarech Lefaneh Uleachreha. So now we'll have two people getting an aliyah without any brachos. Now, why does the Mishnah feel compelled to add that? It's not much of a chiddush. Maybe the Mishnah is just concerned with symmetry. You know, I need the Tani Reisha, Tani Seifa. Let me just see if he says anything about this. He says that Bechol Mokom Shenosefo Chavero, as long as we add another Koreg, Shenosefo Koreg. I don't know. In other words, he says that you might think that it's always the third person who makes the bracha, but no, the answer is it's always the last person who makes the bracha. Okay, I don't know. You have to figure that out.
Comment on Tosfos.
Yeah, that's a Tosfos, but I don't understand Tosfos's answer.
Yeah.
If you have time, I just want to finish the Mishnah. Zakhla. Kol sheyesh bo musaf. Now the Mishnah is trying to address the question of Rosh Chodesh, right? We said that Rosh Chodesh has bitul malacha because you're allowed to do malacha in Rosh Chodesh. So why do we add an extra karo? And the answer is because Rosh Chodesh has musaf. But the ain't a yontif. But there's no full-fledged Issa malach. In fact, in Rosh Chodesh there's no Issa malach at all. So we add another karu to the Kriya Sator, another aliyah, and that's called Karin Arba. So the Arba here reflects the Karban musaf. B'yantiv, Chamisha. Why? Because Yantiv has not only a Karban Musaf, it also has an Iser Malach, it has Kedushas Hayom. So to reflect the Kedushas Hayom and the full-fledged Iser Malach, we add a fifth Aliyah. Yom Kippur has not only Kedushas Hayom and Iser Malach, but it also has a Chiyuv Kares, and therefore it is more severe. Add to that the fact that on Yontif there is some malacha that you can engage in, let's say Ochel Nefesh, that doesn't apply to Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur certainly has more of an intense Kiddush Hayom than Yontif, and that reflects itself in the extra Aliyah, and we go up to Shisha, and that's, as far as I know, the only day of the year where we have six Kruin. Ubishabis. Shabbos is even more chomer. It's the spitz of Kedushas Hayom, because if you violate the Shabbos, you chayv skila. Shiva, we have to reflect that with an added aliyah. Ein pochas mihem, with regard to all of the above, when we go from 4 to 5 to 6 and to 7, we require an absolute minimum of those numbers. I'm almost sifin aleihem, but we can add to them. Now, in what cases are we allowed to add? So it seems that you might be able to add aliyahs even in the case of Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed.
No.
It's only referring to Yontif?
Yeah, didn't it say, right there, you may not, right after Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, it said, Ein Pochatim Behem Behem Musafin Aleihem. So in the Mishnah, it's difficult limits, and so it would only be.
This last comment then could only go on what?
Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbat.
On Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbat, right. Yeah, because on these days there's no Bitul Malacha, and therefore you can add a Kruin. Then he says, Maftirin bin Navi, after the Kriya Satorah, on these days of Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, we add Kriya bin Navi, what we call Aftora, Maftir bin Navi. And then it says, HaPoseach HaChosein BaTorah Mevarech Lefaneh Lachreha. The same rule applies here, that we begin with a bracha and we end with a bracha, but the middle aliyos did not have a bracha. Okay, Rabosi, so we'll stop here, and I'll wish everyone a great day. So, Belinetti, tomorrow we'll start the Sugya Sagamora. If I can.